Give me my coat. So now you got the point, but let me just illustrate it to you. Okay, so this is the devil. And the Bible just tells us, that it is under the feet. But the feet do not act alone. Because everybody in the church can't be the feet. There's got to be some fingers and some eyeballs and some ears. But don't be discouraged that it doesn't say he's placed them under the ears. Why? Because the ears are connected to the same body that the feet are connected to. So when the feet, when Satan is under the feet, it is therefore under every other part of the body that is connected. Don't be frustrated that pastor's challenging you today to get connected to the body. The reason is because I want you to be victorious. I want you to be able to walk over every attack of the enemy, subdue every attack of the enemy. I want you to be positioned in a place where the enemy cannot touch you. And the only way you can get there is if you're connected to the body. Come on, somebody praise him in the house. Come on. That's why submission is not a negative topic. Submission is beautiful. Submission is wonderful. Submission doesn't hold you back. Submission propels you forward. Submission to the body of Christ keeps the adversary under your feet. That is why he fights so hard to get people to be unsubmitted. All the lies, you may be seated, all the lies and all the stuff. Well, the pastor didn't do this and the church didn't do that and this, that, and the other and blah, 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 blah. He does all that stuff to get us some to be unsubmitted. And we think we're doing right things. We think we have valid reasons to be disconnected from the body of Christ. And how many know you can come to church with the church every Sunday and still be disconnected from the body of Christ? Ooh, man. You can come to church and worship with the church but not be connected to the church. But that's the reason why he fights that so hard, and that's the reason why he wants to disconnect us, because he knows if they get disconnected from the body, then I have access to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Somebody said amen. Oh, hallelujah. See, now here's the deal. I know what time it is. Everybody good? Is it hot in here? Can somebody help us with that? I see a lot of fans, and I'm hot. Okay, so here's the deal. Listen now, and I'm hurrying. That's the reason why I can say with great conviction that you and your family do not need another preacher in your life. You need a pastor in your life. Now listen, Listen, this is not a church where we just keep everybody in here and we don't allow you to connect with other people and outside of the church. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. I'm all for friendships and fellowships with other apostolic believers for sure, and on and on and on. Other apostolic churches, connect with them. But because at the end of the day, we're still all one body. But just having friendships with other apostolics from other churches does not give you the same biblical benefit and blessing that will come when you truly connect yourself to a local church. You see, because that's the concept. The concept is, well, I got other apostolic friends in this church and that church and this church and that church, and I'll talk to them, and you know what? If I'm going through something, I can pick up the phone and call them, or I can email them, or, you know, we have coffee once a month, or, you know, whatever. So I'm good in that area. No, you're not. just having other apostolic Christian friends, you know, a friend in California and a friend in Nevada and a friend in wherever, that's not the same as being connected to a local church family. And that's not God's will. We do not need multiple voices speaking into our lives and then choose which one we agree with. And here's why. Here's why. The reason is because none of those voices will have to give an account for your soul. None of them. That's why you can call them and ask them something. Well, should I do this? Should I do that? This, that, and the other. And you know what? It's the first thing that pops in their head. Whatever the first thing pops in their head is. That's going to be their advice probably. And then you call somebody else and you're going to get other advice. And you're, why? Because there's no weight. There's no gravity to their decision. There's no gravity to their advice. There's no gravity to their counsel. Because they're not going to be judged by God for their counsel. So we need a pastor. Now, I understand this full well what I'm saying. We need a pastor who bears the weight and the responsibility of presenting us one day to the Lord. You need someone in your life that understands his role and the consequences for his role. We need somebody that we do not just allow to preach to us a couple of times a month, but we need somebody who we will submit ourselves to totally and completely, biblically, as the pastor. Well, and even right now, I sense it a little bit. There's always this kickback. Well, Pastor, it sounds to me like you're just some, you know, some kind of a power-hungry individual. You just want to kind of be the boss. You just want to boss people around. You just want us to just be like robots, and you tell us what to do, and we've got to do it. That's what it sounds like to me. Let me speak truth to that lie right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely. Paul was saying this. He said, listen. He said, I'm not instructing. I'm not encouraging. I'm not teaching. I'm not holding you accountable to these biblical things for my profit. He said, I'm speaking these and declaring these and preaching these with passion because it's going to profit you. And he said, not only that, but I'm not declaring these things in your life in order to put an added weight on you or to require more of you than what God would require of you or a snare in some form or fashion. But rather, he said, I am delivering the word of the Lord to you and I am preaching the word of the Lord to you in order to bring about in you that which is comely. That word means well-formed, honorable, fashioned. I'm trying to fashion you into the likeness of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to help you to become more like Christ every day that you live. It's not about me teaching this for how it benefits me. It's about me teaching the unadulterated word of the Lord for how it's going to benefit you. It's going to profit you. It's going to profit your home. It's going to profit your marriage. It's going to profit your finances. Hallelujah. So I realize here in this church, I realize we push a little bit and we encourage and we challenge. I understand that. I understand I don't get up every Sunday and just give you a little 15-minute TED talk. I understand that. I understand sometimes we will confront from the word of the Lord to higher callings, deeper depths, more like Christ every day that we live, greater sacrifice, time, talent, treasure, on and on and on, submission, on and on and on. But I do not ask that of the church just to be a weight or a burden or a snare or even to prove to you that I have the authority to do so. I'm not trying to be oppressive. I'm not trying to be domineering. I'm not trying to place some heavy responsibility upon you that you cannot carry, but rather I preach what I believe the Lord gives me, and we declare what the word of the Lord says, and we hold accountable those that truly desire to do something great for the kingdom of God, because we realize it will profit them. It'll profit them. It'll profit them. I'm not on some kind of a power trip to make people do what I want them to do. I speak what I speak, preach what I preach for your profit. I want your kids to be saved. I want you to be blessed. I want you to make it to heaven. I want to be able to present you one day to Christ and let that moment be profitable to you. I want to help position you in a place so that you can be used mightily by God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You get some baseball player that wants to play in the major leagues. You tell me when his, you know, little league, on and on and on, when they say, hey, you need to get up early and you need to get to practice and you need to do this and you need to run and you need to take ground balls and you need to on and on and on. Well, you're asking so much of me. You're asking so much out of me. Yeah, but I thought you wanted to make it to the major league. I do. But I don't want to have to do anything necessary to get to that level. So I'm trying to help people who want to do something big for the kingdom of God to get positioned in a place so you can actually do it and not just talk about doing it. There's enough people just talking about doing something for God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said amen. So I want it to be profitable for you. And so, yes, sometimes the word of the Lord, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Again, I didn't put that in there. I didn't call myself to do those things. Pastors didn't call themselves to do those things. The word of the Lord called us to do these things. And so, yes, sometimes we have to reprove, and sometimes we have to rebuke, and sometimes we have to speak the truth. And my hope and my prayer is that I always speak the truth in love. And I hope that I'm always long-suffering, and I hope that I'm always preaching what the word of the Lord tells me to preach. But at the end of the day, sometimes the pastor has to push us and make us uncomfortable so that we get from where we are to where God wants us to be. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus' name. Because you want to know something else I know? I know there's not a person in this room, including the person on the platform, that is exempt from backsliding. And there's not a person in this room that's exempt from making a terrible life decision. And there's nobody in the room that is immune completely and totally to the tricks of the enemy and the adversary. So I refuse to remain quiet while the enemy pulls you away. And I refuse to stay silent while the enemy works his work in your life. Listen, I will not be quieted in my attempt to get you connected to the local church instead of just hanging around the local church. I will not be swayed in my endeavor to get a truly submitted saint of God that's totally fully committed to the local body of believers. And the reason I do so is because I know that if you have not experienced a storm yet, there's one coming. And the only thing that's going to keep you in the storm is an anchor that is firmly planted on the rock Christ Jesus. And the only thing that's going to keep you planted in the storm is when you're connected to your brothers and to your sisters in the Lord. Matthew 16, 18, and I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you're a part of the church, woo, somebody said amen. Now I know what time it is.
I know what time it is.
Well, listen, you maybe see it. I see the runway. I want to make this very plain. I couldn't care less about your money and about how your money could personally affect my life. I couldn't care less about that. Because you're not my provider. He's my provider. That is why I can preach to you, teach to you about how your money is going to affect your life. Because I don't care how it will affect my life. You see, but if I cared about how it would affect my life, I probably wouldn't do a whole lot of preaching about how it would affect your life. And then you would not be blessed because I didn't want to talk about it. There is, now listen, I'm saying that, you guys know me. I'm saying this in love. There's not anything you have that I want. Nothing. I'm never going to get up here and preach from an angle of trying to get something from you for my life personally. The only thing I want to do is to present you to Jesus Christ. Holy and acceptable. Holy and acceptable. That's it. So, with that being said, I refuse to water down the message. And I refuse to lower spiritual, ministerial, and leadership expectations in order to appease people with money, talent, charisma, or influence. Because you say, well, man, you know, I had a buddy, the pastor, and there was a millionaire that went to his church, and this guy was as carnal as the day is long. But he had an elder in the church that kept talking to him like, you need to be so nice to him. You don't preach nothing that would just, you know, don't do this because he's giving us a lot of money. Forget about it. Forget about it. See ya, bud. There's like 12 other millionaires. Come on. That God will send. If he wants to have a millionaire, he'll send us one that's submitted. Or, you know what else I've seen? I've seen God send people, unsubmitted people, with talent or finance to a church for a season to be a blessing to you. And then they, because of their unsubmission, they don't stick, but the Lord just uses them. Anyway, so I refuse to water it down. Because if those kind of people leave, guess what? God will just send us somebody who is submitted. Listen, I've done this too long to have anybody hijack me. And let me just prove it. And it's not just me. Let me tell you something. And I, you know, we don't want this to happen, obviously. But if I had a heart attack after church and died, I know. I'm just saying. I'm giving you an illustration. Guess what? Within a few weeks, there'd be another pastor here. Now, listen, I don't want to think about it, and you don't want to think about it. I get that. But my point is, there would be another pastor here in a couple weeks. You'd vote somebody else in. And 10 years from now, I mean, you guys would be rocking and rolling. Now, listen, that was probably a bad illustration. In the whole room just went. My point is this. I didn't want you to think that we could do without you. I wanted you to also understand, church don't need me either. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, or if I'm not here, God will replace me. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, God will replace you. That's the reality of the church. It's God's church. He puts people in where he wants them to be. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And so it is that I am damaging your family when I do not preach to you the whole counsel of God. I am damaging your family. I am hurting you. I am hurting you when I do not preach the whole counsel of God to you, even if it's challenging and even if sometimes we don't like it. I am hurting you if I don't preach to you what the word of the Lord says. Because here's what I know. Compromise is not a decision. It's a lifestyle. And if I start compromising after all of these years about a few things, then it'll only be a matter of time until I'm compromising about many things. And I'm just not going to do it. Listen, I have said no to too many people over the last 20 plus years to start saying yes now. I've fought too many devils over the last 20 years to start giving in to them now. I've defeated too many wolves over the last 20 plus years to start letting them in the sheepfold now. So it's a lie from hell that's telling you that I'm on some kind of power trip, and it's a lie from hell that's telling you I'm just throwing my weight around, and it's a lie from hell that's telling you that I'm using my position for personal gain. Church, I'm trying to do whatever it takes in order for your life to be profitable to the kingdom of God, as well as to prepare us all for the day when the trumpet sounds and we are caught away to be with Him. I'm doing whatever it takes in order to develop you to be well-formed and honorable before the Lord, rooted and grounded in the most holy faith. I want to present you to the Lord without blame. Somebody stand to your feet right now. Give the Lord a praise. Connected to the church. Connected to a pastor. Submitted to a church. Submitted to a pastor. It's not antiquated language. It's not an outdated concept. It is the blessing of the Lord over your life. Come on, somebody lift your hands. Lift your hands in the presence of the Lord.